But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That is the word of God today. And the theme of today is a question. The question is, what about Christians and alcohol? I think you have read it. And this is the theme we are going to talk about today. This week, in the whole CBCA, about 800 congregations were talking about alcohol and drug abuse. Because this is really a problem in Congo, and maybe in all countries which are represented here. Christians are facing that serious problem, which is affecting not only the church, but also families, schools, and hospitals, and every thing you can think about. So that's why our church today decided, because we are one of the CBCA, to also have time to think again about alcohol and drug use. And this text we have read comes directly after a tragic accident. And it's about someone called Nadab and Abihu, sons of Aaron, when they were performing their duty, their priestly duty, preparing incenses and adding incense, they used an unauthorized fire, if you start at the beginning of the chapter. And this was a violation of the holy procedures, and the consequence was death. So instead of sending fire to consume offering, God was furious against these two guys, and he sent fire to consume them. So Nadab and Abihu died within the tent of meeting. While there is no proof that these two guys were drunk, if you read the text, there is no proof. But as you know, some duties call thinking for clear brain. Some duties require precision, rigorous respect of what we call SOP, standard operating procedures. Some duties must respect steps by steps, which are compiled to help workers to carry out their routine work so that they may achieve efficiency, quality output, and uniformity of performance. So God was right to instruct Aaron that you and your sons are not to drink wine or other fermented drinks whenever you go into the tent of meeting. And the text we have read gives two reasons. The first reason is that it is because they are called to distinguish between the common and the uncommon, the holy and the unholy, the unclean and the clean. I've never been drunk, but I will share some experiences. I know that you have some of them, because a drug use is common in our traditions. So I'm going to tell you a very short story, which is from Africa. People were taking wine. And I know that you have all our traditions, local beers. So it was a local beer. And people were taking it, and it was 11 a.m. Imagine, at 11 a.m. people were drunk. So people were taking it, and there was noise. Everyone saying his word, no matter he listened to another. So suddenly, one of them said, "Why are you turning off the light?" It was 11 a.m. One night, why are you turning off the light? And the other were laughing and asking, are you serious? It is 11 a.m. and you are saying that we have turned off the light. Then suddenly the man fell down and he lost his consciousness. They brought him to the hospital and the guy was intoxicated by local beer. He was intoxicated and he was not able to distinguish between day and night, darkness and light. Imagine you bring somebody like that in a tent. How is he going to distinguish between holy and unholy? So Aaron, God says to Aaron in the temple, you are called to distinguish between holy and common, clean and unclean. So I think you cannot perform this with a cloudy brain. It's not possible. God, our Lord, must be worshipped with a clear brain. I think you don't need a glass of beer to come and worship God here. You don't need a glass of beer to come and preach. You just need the Holy Spirit to come and sing before the Lord in the temple. So, for a priest to be able to discern and know the difference between the holy and unholy, they need a clear brain to do it in the temple. God did not want his people to come with brain clouded by alcohol in the temple to serve him. As you know, alcohol is a depressant. So it's not able to take it and have the ability to completely give oneself to God. So the second reason is that the priest's responsibility, when you read verse 11, concerns teaching the children of Israel. So they were to teach them God's word as revealed by Moses. And the Bible said that they have to teach all the statutes which the Lord has spoken. And this again requires a clear brain. You cannot be a teacher and start by taking beer before you teach. So, while we talk about alcohol, some believe that God did not prohibit the alcohol among the priests for all cases, for all their duty, but it was only when they are performing their work, their duties, the temple. That is one thinking. And as you know, the debate is very long, and we cannot open it and close it with this short sermon. But I'm going to go through some references they use. Those who think that we have no problem with wine as Christian. And the verse they use is number 15, verse 5 and 7. And they use it because wine was included in the offerings made to the Lord. So they say, how come that wine is one of the offerings we can bring to God, and you say that you cannot take it? They also use Psalm 115. And wine, like food, was regarded as one of the good things that God has given. So they read that last part of the verse which says, wine gladdens the heart of man. So how come that something can gladden the heart of man and you do not take it? The following verse says that of Proverbs 31 verse 6 and 7. Wine is mentioned as a medicine for those who are enduring physical suffering. And the verse says, give beer to those who are perishing, wine to those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. And they say, you understand that we can give it to those who are suffering. The following verse is that of Luke chapter 10, 31 and 1 Timothy 5, 23, where wine was used as a disinfectant to clean wounds. And they quote the story of the Good Samaritan who used oil and wine and bandages the wounds of that person who met bandits on the road. They also read that verse of 1 Timothy which says, stop drinking only water and use a little wine because of your stomach and your frequent illness. So they say, we can take something, just one glass. They also read this verse of John chapter 2 and say that wine was used in celebrations and ceremonies because Jesus himself made wine for guests and wedding ceremony. So even if they don't understand the meaning of this miracle, they will quote it and say, we can take, especially because it is written in the Bible that Jesus said, take wine in remembrance of me. So they say he gave the permission. But when you read all these passages, it is clear that the Bible is talking to simple wine. And if you compare it with today, then you'll find that people are not taking simple wine. People are taking distilled liquors. And you have them in your traditional languages. In this part, they can call it Kanyanga, Museveni, and Changa in Kenya. I don't know in your traditions. And those are distilled liquid. So they take their local beers and read verses in the Bible and think that they are allowed to take wine. And as a conclusion, these people say that the Bible does not condemn the drinking of alcohol, but it only condemns drunkenness. I think you know some discussion like that. The Bible commend self-control and not abstinence. They will also say that the Bible recognizes that wine can be used as medicine. And they say even some churches, leaders and pastors support moderation rather than total abstinence. So it seems that we have also some pastors who are ready to take it. And they will say, not everybody who takes a drink gets drunk. And finally, they will say, as you know, refusing to drink may be considered as antisocial, because in many cultures, it requires drinking at social functions such as wedding, funeral ceremonies, and birth ceremonies. So they say, if you do not take in those ceremonies, then you're going to be considered as antisocial. So that's one part. And that's one group. Then the second group will say, even if we have some positive references in the scripture, but there are also many, many parts of the scripture which condemn the use of alcohol. And they will give you Deuteronomy 21 verse 20. Especially they are going to read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 9 and Galatians chapter 5 verse 19 to 21. And they say, Paul mentions it in the same list with witchcraft, sorcery, and sexual immorality, and so on. And he concludes that these people, all of them have no share with the kingdom of God. So how come drunkenness is in the same list with witchcraft and you want to be drunk? That means you have no share with others in the kingdom of God. And they are going to read to you, and if you want to read at home, the whole chapter of Proverbs, chapter 23. This is the chapter which talks much about drunkenness. Try to read and you'll find that the Bible says, do not join those who drink too much wine, for drunkards become poor. And the chapter will link it, taking drugs, taking alcohol, and sleeping with prostitutes. And even the prophet Hosea has a link between drunkenness and sexual immorality. He recognized that if you take alcohol, that means you are vulnerable to prostitution. If you read Hosea chapter 4, verse 11. The author of Proverbs talks also about addiction. And he says that the addicted person is just the one who is looking for alcohol everywhere because he wants to find another drink. And he will say that alcohol may be attractive to you, but it's just like the beauty of a snake. And if this snake bites you, it will produce a deadly poison. So don't look at the beauty of alcohol. It's like you are looking for the beauty of a snake. Finally, he will say that those who are enslaved by alcohol are unwise. And the other versions of the Bible say that they are foolish. So I think that you will have time to read that chapter 23 of Proverbs. And that is the very, very long chapter which talks about alcohol in the Bible. And these people remind us the story of Noah. You remember that he took alcohol. And finally, he was naked in the tent. So they say that drunkenness leaves one prone to disgrace and makes one an object of ridicule. So if you want to be drunk, prepare yourself that we will meet you on the road naked, like Noah. They also mention the story of Lot. And they say that they think that Lot was not thinking that he can commit incest with his daughters. If they asked the question to Lot before he takes something, he could not say, I want to commit incest with my daughters. But because he took something and he was drunk, then he committed incest. And the Bible says that he did not even know that he committed incest with his daughters. So drunkenness can make people commit wrongs they would never have done if they were sober. They will also mention that drunkenness results in physical injuries. And I think we have stories of those who fight when they are drunk. And I think that even today, the thing may be even different, because today we have those who will use guns when they are drunk and kill themselves or kill others. And we know stories of accidents because people were driving under the influence of alcohol. So they will remind you this. They will also remind you Isaiah chapter 28 verse 7, which states that the priest and the prophet stagger from beer. And they will ask you the question, how can you have visions under the influence of alcohol? And that is why the author of Proverbs said that if you are drunk, then you are unwise and you are foolish. And so those who agree that a Christian should never consume alcohol, and that is the position of this church, they say that the Bible warns us about the dangers associated with alcohol. And they say, they remind this verse we have read, Leviticus chapter 10, that this was forbidden to priests. So we are priests. They will say that we have taken a Nazarite vow, and because of that, we are forbidden to take wine. We are not different from Samson and John the Baptist. So we are forbidden. They will remind you the story which we read in Jeremiah chapter 25 verse 1. And that is the story of Rechabite. These people, they had their own identity. They were not superior or inferior to others. But according to their identity, they said, we cannot take alcohol. And this was forbidden by our father. So they were unique. And the leaders of this church will tell you that we are that people. We are Rechabite. We have decided that this is our identity. We are not superior to others, but we are unique. And this is our identity. And it is sad to see how people often today seek to lose their identity. They will remind you what Paul wrote to Romans, that it's better not to drink than to let others stumble. They also going to read to you Habakkuk chapter 2. Woe to who gives drink to his neighbor, pouring it from the wineskin till they are drunk, so that they can gaze on their naked body. And they are going to say that if you take beer, you will lose your self-control. Instead, be filled by the Holy Spirit. But because it is the Holy Spirit who gives us self-control. Self-control is a gift of the Holy Spirit. But if you take beer, then you go straight to debauchery. They will remind you that drinking is a slippery slope, because many who start as a social drink, they end up as excessive drinkers and drunkards. So it is a slippery slope. If you start, then you will be a drunkard. They will tell you that alcohol kills, And you have the statistics of those who are killed or those who die because of alcohol. And they will tell you that alcohol leads to immorality. And alcohol breaks families, breaks marriages, and leads to the neglect of children, and also ruins our life. Then they will ask you the question, between taking alcohol and abstinence to alcohol, what do you choose? They will say that there is many consequences of consumption of alcohol in our society. So the safest position is never even to start drinking. Because you will start by social drinking and you will end up by becoming a drunkard, with your life physically, emotionally, and socially ruined. So Christians have to choose abstinence. You all know, they always say, drug abuse. It is like, it is the drug which is abused. But unfortunately, it's not the drug which is abused. It is our body which is abused. So whenever you want to start drinking, think about that very soon your body will be abused, and not alcohol. And think also about the verse of 1 Peter we have read, that we are a chosen generation. We are an elected race. We are a member of royal priesthood. We are a member of that holy nation, the kingdom of the priests. So we are all priests. And because of that, the text of Leviticus said that we are forbidden to take alcohol. Because as member of the kingdom of God, every day we serve God as priests. So think about that when you are tempted to take something. We Christians must be different from others in this world. The question I could ask you when I'm finishing this sermon: what are distinguishing marks of Christians today which separate them from the world today? And can the world say that you are different? There is a saying from South Kivu. I'm going to read it to you. And it is written as following: the alcohol seller gets rich, but the buyer destroys himself and becomes poor. If you want to take alcohol, wait for what Jesus said in Matthew. When we read Matthew chapter 26, verse 29, Jesus said the following: I tell you, I will never again drink this wine until the day I drink the new wine with you in my Father's kingdom. So wait for that time. Jesus is waiting for us in his kingdom, and he will give us new wine. It will not be Kanyanga or Changa or other thing. And I think that you will be there and you will take wine, and it will be new wine with Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless his word. Amen.